Thank you so much. Sorry, today has been a difficult day. My father would be so honored. I know his presence can be felt tonight in this beautiful space with all of the people he loved and who loved him dearly. I can say with certainty that although we have been profoundly impacted by his death, it was his incredible life and what he brought to it that will be everlasting. I'm sorry. I really just need somebody to hold my Kleenex. Our lives move so quickly that sometimes we forget the essence of being present in it. My father was a believer in trying to focus on being in the moment and to absorb the experience. I've never really been good at that myself. But the moment he passed, I found myself savoring this time. My life literally flashed before my eyes like a flip book. Every memory was a series of gradually varied pictures that turned rapidly, simulating motion into an animated story. I suddenly recalled something he had said to me many years ago. He said, "Anne, dying is what makes living important." A few days later, I was having a conversation with my sister Bridget about life, about my life in particular, and she reminded me of the importance of recognizing that we were all living the life we were meant to live. In the essence of that realization, I am so grateful that Tony Whiteley was meant to be our dad. Sorry. Sometime near the end of the Great Depression in Canada, my dad grew up a typical boy, full of adventure and mischief, running around the streets of Montreal with his friends and wreaking havoc on the neighborhood. Over a decade later, he was a young man who played college football by day and snuck into jazz clubs with his friends and his brother in the middle of the night to the restricted Jewish and Italian areas of the city. In his adult life, he married a beautiful young French woman, my mother, and had us four girls. For years, he worked in human resources as a physical education advisor and was eventually transferred to Ottawa, where he never seemed to settle into a conventional life. He began to explore the ideals of Martin Luther King and the revolution that was unfolding around the world in the 1970s. Our home soon became a sign of the times, where the Beatles and Simon and Garfunkel, Leonard Cohen and Phil Oakes played daily, and where tie-dyes and ponchos became the norm. This period in history transformed him. Yet he remained a complex man that he had always been. In one breath, he was quiet and introspective. In another, he was an Irish rebel, an anarchist. He was a hippie at heart, and yet a conservative and competitive jock. He was a solitaire thinker and a bookworm, a gentle painter and feisty freedom fighter. No matter which hat he wore, he was a humble, honest, sweet, and loving person. For us girls, growing up under his roof was never boring, to say the least. And when I say us, I'm not only speaking of his immediate daughters, but his extended surrogate daughters. Lori and Linda and Kelly and Donna and Jenny and there's so many, Becky, some of them aren't here today. They all referred to him as Dad. He loved and he cared for us deeply. He also put up with a lot from us during our teenage years. At times, he struggled to articulate himself in the context of certain things that were not so important to him, but so important to us girls. Like, for example, when we waited for a boy to call. Fun little scenario here. Dad is on the couch, having a bud, watching football. We enter into the apartment. Hey, Dad. He responds, hello. We'd start to head to our rooms, and he'd call out, somebody called for you. Who? You know, who you ma call it? That guy. Dad, which guy? You know, the one that, you know, he plays the whatchamacallit. The guitar. Dad, they all play the guitar. You know, the guy that plays the guitar and has that deep voice. At the time, I was dating Paul Doerr. He had a very deep voice. Dad, like, did he leave a name? Yeah. Who? Who you will call it? And that's seriously how it went. He had a playful sense of humor. There were many a late night when we would sneak into the house, giggling and laughing, only to be shut down by his infamous growl. Hey, 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 hey. We'd scurry off to bed. A few hours later, he'd make his way to the living room where he'd mastered the art of placing the record needle precisely at the beginning of Led Zeppelin's The Immigrant Song, blasting it and jolting us out of our beds. Sometimes, out of the blue after a hard day, he'd just randomly start imitating John Cleese in Monty Python's The Ministry of Silly Walks, just for laughs. He didn't take himself too seriously, unless he had to, or he chose to. He took up running in his 40s to try to get his life back on track after my parents separated. He was determined to be fit and strong both physically and mentally. Every day he mapped out his running plan, and I mean every day. He read about it, he ate and slept according to it, and despite working long hours, sometimes long overnight shifts, he'd just go with it. And we'd proudly truck off to every marathon he participated in, whether it was here in Ottawa or in Montreal. And afterwards, we would eat spaghetti and drink beer and celebrate his accomplishment. He motivated us to keep moving. His energy was relentless, especially when it came to his grandchildren. He watched over them like a hawk. He played with them in the dirt at the park. He went to dance recitals and played football and hockey. And he would sit on the floor next to them for hours and do art or watch Disney movies. He enjoyed playing basketball with them and danced with them at family parties. He cradled them, supplied them with countless piggyback rides, bedtime stories, and homemade birthday cards. My daughter Cody recently told me he was my rock. Indeed, he was our giant boulder. He loved his nieces and nephew, Janet and Susan and Ellen and David. He was so proud of them. They were the solid link to his immediate family. His sister Joan, their beautiful mother, sadly passed away far too soon. And when she did, my father stayed by their side and continued to support them throughout the years. In his last few weeks, Janet would come by to share her ancestry findings of descendant relatives from Ireland and fabulous pictures of him with his brother and sister and his parents and grandparents. What a gift. Thank you, Janet. He was a constant and active member of his tight-knit community. There was nothing he loved more than Saturday night jams with his musician friends and live recording sessions, courtesy of Joe and Dawn. He stood strong in his beliefs with them on important human rights and environmental issues. At 80 years of age, he was still jumping on his bike to ride all the way down the river path, his favorite place, to Parliament Hill, his least favorite place, with his comrades, Jan and Rhi and Rosalie, and the list goes on, to protest. Sometimes they'd last there all day, and I often expected to get a call, "Your father has been arrested." Thankfully, that never happened, or at least not to my knowledge anyway. Many of his comrades are here today. He loved and respected each and every one of you. He fought long and hard against the government on important issues, including international ones. Dad was so proud to be a part of the activism that took place in Ottawa that made a difference. He was so happy when Hassan Diab was finally released from prison. Mission accomplished. Hassan visited Dad in the weeks prior to his death to thank him, and he was incredibly moved by this. He believed so strongly in freedom and equality and bared no patience for those who did not. Even in his last dying days, he found the energy to drop the F-bomb whenever Trump came across the television screen. In closing, I have some much-deserved thanks to give. Most notably, thank you to my sister Dawn for all the years of care you gave Dad. In the end, he could not have had a better, more diligent angel looking after his daily needs. You were relentless and selfless in your dedication to ensuring the quality of life. You are incredible. Thank you to my sister Bridget for being Dawn's official wing person and for spoiling Dad with your company, endless assortment of treats, and for introducing him to Netflix and the BBC series Mrs. Brown's Boys. It literally saved him in his darkest moments and kept him laughing hard. Thank you to my sister Teresa for her spiritual guidance and love. It was your constant positive encouragement that lifted us during these difficult moments. Thank you to Joe and Rosalie for allowing us to invade your home and for all of your patience, love, and support. Thank you to Dr. Paul Hacker and Dr. Michael Hartwick for being incredibly good at what you do. We need more people like you. And finally, thank you to my family and friends, and in particular my husband Doug and sister-in-law Janet, for taking over for me at home so that I could spend time with my dad and my sisters throughout our collective journey. And with that, I leave you all with Dad's favorite quote, one who is preparing to shut down for the night. That's all, folks.